Turn with me one last time to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13. Today we're going to finish what we began over 7 years ago in the study of the book of Hebrews. And today I want to give you one final word. One final word from the book of Hebrews. Our text is Hebrews 13, verses 22 down through verse number 25. It reads this way, "But I urge you, brethren, bear with this word of exhortation, for I have written to you briefly. Take notice that our brother Timothy has been released, with whom, if he comes soon, I will see you. Greet all of your leaders and all the saints. Those from Italy greet you. Grace be with you all." There's a myriad of ways that I could take this passage of Scripture and go with it. I could talk to you about grace. Now, grace is distributed to all, what that means. I could talk to you about greeting your leaders and the saints among you. I could talk to you about Timothy and his release from prison and the fact that he's coming to them soon. All would be very valid points to talk to you about. But I've decided just to give you one final word dealing with the first part of verse number 22, which reads simply this way, "I urge you, brethren, bear with this word of exhortation." Pay close attention to this word of exhortation. Listen carefully to this word of exhortation. Bear up under the word of this exhortation. This is how he concludes. He wants them to realize that what they have just heard or just read about is so important that they need to pay very close attention to what they have just read. It's unfortunate today that, for the most part, we don't do that. So this is your one final word out of the book of Hebrews: to pay very close attention to the truth of what God conveys through his word. The Bible says that we need to be quick to the hearing of the word, James 1, verse number 19. And yet, we tend to be very slow at hearing what God has to say. There are reasons for that. I'll give them to you this morning. But think of it this way. Because it's a Jewish audience, and to understand the book of Hebrews, you need to understand the Jewish nation, the Jewish culture, the Jewish history. For if you understand the Old Testament, you can interpret Israel or interpret Hebrews fairly easily. If you don't know the Old Testament, it makes it more difficult. But you need to know the Jewish nation. And this writer to Hebrews, whoever it may be, understands their history, understands what has taken place, because Israel's biggest problem throughout the Old Testament was that they never listened to what God said. They never paid attention to what God said. They never listened carefully to what God said. In fact, over in the book of Matthew, these words are spoken by our Lord, Matthew chapter 23. In Matthew 23, he said these words, verse 37, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her." That's how Jerusalem is characterized. They kill the prophets and stone those who are sent to her. Why would they want to do that? Because they didn't want to listen to what they had to say. So he goes on to say, "How often I wanted to gather your children together, the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were unwilling. Behold, your house is being left to you desolate. For I say to you, from now on you will not see me until," not unless, but until, big difference, "until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." In other words, they will say one day, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." That's why it says, until you say it. And they will say it. Zechariah 12, 13 and 14, 16 times it says, in that day. What day? In the day of the king's return, they will say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But the problem with Israel is that they would not listen, pay very close attention to the prophets and those that were sent to her. In fact, that is illustrated quite readily in the book of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles, chapter 36, verse number 11. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he began to reign as king, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. He did evil in the sight of the Lord, his God. He did not humble himself before Jeremiah the prophet, who spoke for the Lord. For he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear allegiance by God. But he stiffened his neck, hardened his heart, against turning to the Lord God of Israel. Furthermore, all the officials of the priests and the people were very unfaithful, following all the abominations of the nations. And they defiled the house of the Lord, which he had sanctified in Jerusalem. The Lord, the God of their fathers, sent word to them again and again by his messengers, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they continually mocked the messengers of God, despised his words, and scoffed at his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people until there was no remedy. In other words, God sent to them because of his compassion, prophets and messengers. But they did not listen. They didn't want to hear what they had to say. That's why when Jesus came, Jesus said so much about what it means to listen, to hear. In fact, he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. In Revelation 2 and 3, to the seven churches of Asia Minor, he concludes with, he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. You need to listen. He says over in Luke 11, verse number 27, while Jesus was saying these things, one of the women in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast at which you nursed. But he said, on the contrary, blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it. The blessing comes when you hear God's word and you do what it says. In Luke chapter 10, you know the story of Mary and Martha. Now, as they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me. But the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried about and bothered about so many things, but one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Busyness always breeds barrenness. Did you know that? Busyness breeds barrenness. And Martha was upset that she was doing everything alone, but Mary had chosen the better part, to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to his words, that she might know what he says. In Luke 9, verse number 35, on the Mount of Transfiguration, remember what took place? God spoke from the crowd, from a cloud, and said to Peter, James, and John, this is my beloved son. Listen to him. In chapter 8 of Luke's gospel, verse number 19, his mother and brothers came to him, and they were unable to get to him because of the crowd. And it was reported to him, your mother and your brothers are standing outside, wishing to see you. But he answered and said to them, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and keep it. And then he gives a unique illustration to his men. Verse 22. Now in one of those days, Jesus and his disciples got into a boat, and he said to them, let us go over to the other side of the lake. So they launched out, But as they were sailing along, he fell asleep, and a fierce gale of wind descended on the lake, and they began to be swamped and to be in danger. They came to Jesus and woke him up, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." And he got up and rebuked the wind and the surging waves, and they stopped, and it became calm. And he said to them, "Where is your faith?" What is faith? Faith is believing what God has already said. What had God already said? "Get into the boat. Let's go to the other side of the lake." He said that. But as soon as they got in the middle of the lake and things got a little rough, they thought they were going to die. Why? Because they did not believe in what God had already said. They didn't listen to what the Lord said. And that's why it says, "And they were fearful and amazed, saying to one another, 'Who then is this that he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him?'" Christ had a huge emphasis in his ministry on listening to what he had to say. Because listening is the fine art of worship. You will be a great worshiper if you are a great listener. If you're a bad listener, you can't worship. Because you can't hear what the Word of God is saying as it speaks to you. You need to listen intently. So the writer of Hebrews, at the very end, says to this Jewish audience, "Listen, you need to pay very close attention to what I've just told you. This exhortation. You need to grapple with it. You need to understand it," because he knows Jewish history. Go back with me, if you would, to the book of Jeremiah. Book of Jeremiah. We just read to you 2 Chronicles 36, which is the last book of the Bible in the Jewish Torah. It's the last book, right? It's the last book, because the Old Testament in Jewish theology ends with the destruction of the temple on the Temple Mount. And they wailing before that western wall, that wailing wall, that waiting wall, in anticipation of the Messiah coming again, recognizing the magnitude of their sin. But they were warned. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse number 10. "To whom shall I speak and give warning, that they may hear? Behold, their ears are closed, and they cannot listen. Behold, the word of the Lord has become a reproach to them. They have no delight in it." No delight. Why is it someone would not have a delight in hearing the word of God? What would keep you from delighting in hearing what God has to say? More on that in a moment. Verse 16. "Thus says the Lord, stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. But they said, 'We will not walk in it.' And I set a watchman over you, saying, 'Listen to the sound of the trumpet.' But they said, 'We will not listen.' Therefore hear, O nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I am bringing disaster on this people, the fruit of their plans, because they have not listened to my words. And as for my law, they have rejected it also." So you move to Jeremiah chapter 13. And in Jeremiah chapter 13, it says in verse number 8, "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'Thus says the Lord, just so will I destroy the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem, this wicked people who refuse to listen to my words, who walk in the stubbornness of their hearts and have gone after other gods to serve them and to bow down to them. Let them be just like this waistband, which is totally worthless. For as the waistband clings to the waist of a man, so I made the whole household of Israel and the whole household of Judah cling to me, declares the Lord, that they might be for me a people, for renown, for praise, and for glory. But they did not listen." The writer of Hebrews knows this. He knows that The Jewish audience knows this, that they did not listen. So he says, make sure you listen to what you've just been told. Pay very close attention to this word of exhortation. You don't want to be in the same boat as your forefathers were. So in chapter 17 of Jeremiah, the Lord says this. Thus says the Lord, go and stand in the public gate. This is verse number 19 of chapter 17. Through which the kings of Judah come in and go out, as well as in all the gates of Jerusalem. And say to them, listen to the word of the Lord, kings of Judah, and all inhabitants of Jerusalem, who come in through these gates. Thus says the Lord, take heed for yourselves, and do not carry any load on the Sabbath day, or bring anything in through the gates of Jerusalem. You shall not bring a load out of your houses or on the Sabbath day, nor do any work, but keep the Sabbath day holy, as I commanded your forefathers. Yet they did not listen or incline their ears, but stiffened their necks in order not to listen or take correction. Then you turn to the book of Jeremiah, the 25th chapter. In chapter 25, it says in verse number 4, and the Lord has sent to you all his servants, the prophets, again and again, but you have not listened nor inclined your ear to hear, saying, turn now every one from his evil way and from the evil way of your deeds, and dwell in the land which the Lord has given to you and your forefathers forever and ever. And do not go after other gods to serve them and to worship them. And do not provoke me to anger with the work of your hands, and I will do you no harm. Yet you have not listened to me, declares the Lord, in order that you might provoke me to anger with the work of your hands to your own harm. You did not listen. Chapter 35 of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 35. Verse number 12. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, go and say to the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, will you not receive instruction by listening to my words, declares the Lord? The words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, which he commanded his sons not to drink wine or observe. So they do not drink wine to this day, for they have obeyed their father's command. But I have spoken to you again and again, yet you have not listened to me. Also, I have sent to you all my servants, the prophets, sending them again and again, saying, turn now every man from the evil way and amend your deeds, and do not go after other gods to worship them. Then you will dwell in the land which I have given to you and to your forefathers, but you have not inclined your ear or listened to me. Isn't that sad? God has sent messenger after messenger, prophet after prophet, telling them what to do, how to live, where to go, what to say. And they refused to listen. So when Christ comes, he beckons all of Israel. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Are you listening? Mary's chosen the better part, to listen to the words of Christ, rather to be involved in all kinds of extracurricular activities. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you kill the prophets, stone those who were sent to you. Oh, I wanted to gather you together as a mother hen would gather her chicks, but you were unwilling. You did not listen. So the Bible says, and the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 4, these words. Timothy is told to preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth. We'll turn aside to myths. But you, Timothy, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. Timothy, there's coming a time where they won't listen. They're going to gather together for themselves preachers who will tickle their ears. In other words, you know, God's word doesn't tickle people's ears. It boxes people's ears. And you need to understand that. And yet, in the end times, where we are at today, this is how it happens. So why is it we don't listen? Why is it when Solomon says, guard your steps as you go to the house of God and draw near to listen? The fine art of worship centers on listening more than anything else. Hearing what God's word says. Listening to the voice of God through the pages of the scriptures. The inspired word illuminates the incarnate word. Always. The inspired word illuminates the incarnate word. In other words, you're able to see Christ in his word. Because you're able to, with unveiled face, as 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, behold, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, so that you're transformed from one level of glory to the next level of glory. You're transformed into being Christ-like. Why? Because the inspired word illuminates the incarnate word, that you might see him, worship him, and understand him. So Solomon says, guard your steps. For when you go to the house of the Lord, you go there to listen. But why is it we have such a difficult time listening? Let me give you several reasons. Now, I'll explain it to you. And see if this is you today. Okay? Number one, we don't listen because of distraction. We are distracted by things that happen before we arrived. You understand. You get up. You got to get your kids ready. You got the wrong socks on the wrong feet. Got the wrong shoes on the wrong kid. You're wrestling around trying to get everything together, trying to get them into the car, trying to get them to church, rush to church, get them signed in for their class, rush in here, sit down, take a deep breath, and they call you and say, you got to come get your kid. So you get up, go get your kid. You know, something happened in the classroom. There are so many distractions that we face all the time. But remember, the Lord said to Martha that Mary has chosen the best part. She's chosen to listen to the words, not to be distracted by all the goings on around you. Maybe you're distracted today because of what you're going to do after church, right? So many times we're distracted because we have meals to prepare and places to go. Maybe you're distracted because of things that happened before church. Maybe you're distracted because of things that are going to happen this week. And they weigh heavily on your mind. But so easily, we can become distracted. We sit in the back of the church, and we're distracted by the people in the front of the church. Right? Because they're scratching their head. You know, they're moving around. And you get distracted. Very easily happens, right? You get distracted by the guy sitting next to you in the pew. I don't know. But so easily we become distracted that we don't pay very close attention to what's being said at all. And the next thing you know, church is over. We leave and don't even know what was said. But distraction's a big deal for many people. We can't shut our minds off from things at home. We can't shut our minds off from things at work. We can't shut our minds off because we are so taken by other things. And so we are distracted. It will always keep us from listening intently. Satan loves to distract you, to draw your attention away from the truth. So anything he can do that, he will do. So you don't have to hear what God has for you on this day. But distraction is a big deal. That's one of the reasons we don't listen. Another one is this. Deception. We are deceived. We are deceived in thinking that what's being said doesn't apply to me. But it does apply to my wife. Or it does apply to my kids. Or it does apply to my friends. It's very easy to be self-deceived. The Pharisees were self-deceived. They believed that what Jesus had to say didn't apply to them. Because they were religious. They were the religious elite. How dare Christ come and try to instruct them on the things of religion? They were very deceived. It's easy to be in that category. We come and we hear something, we think, well, that doesn't apply to me. Let me tell you something. If you're here, it applies to you. If we're talking about marriage and you're single, it applies to you. If we're talking about doctrine, it applies to you. If we're talking about end times, it applies to you. Everything in the Word of God applies to you because it's all profitable for instruction, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness that we have the men of God thoroughly furnished, thoroughly equipped, right? So it's all profitable. But we deceive ourselves thinking, well, that topic's not for me. So I won't go hear about Daniel because that's not about prophecy. That doesn't apply to me. I won't do a study on Leviticus because that's all about Levitical law and that doesn't apply to me. Oh, I don't want to study about the book of Revelation. It's just too hard to understand. And after all, that doesn't apply to me. It all applies to us. These are God's words. And so we are self-deceived into thinking it doesn't mean anything to me. Remember what the writer of Hebrews said? Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 12. Take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. And be encouraged, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Don't let your heart be hardened because of the deceitfulness of sin. Thinking that somehow this doesn't apply to you. But somehow this should apply to someone else and not me. We can be so easily distracted. Oh, by the way, the reason we're distracted is because there's something more important to us than what God has to say. You'll never admit that. I'll never admit it. But that's the truth. Your children, when you speak to them and they don't follow through, they were busy doing something else. They were distracted. I didn't hear you. I was doing something else. There was something more important to you than listening to your father or your mother speak. Instead of your father or mother speaking being the most important thing to you. When God speaks, it's the most important thing. But we're distracted. Why? Because there's something else in my mind that's more important, that's elevated over what God has to say. That needs to be done, that I need to schedule, that I need to get rid of, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So distraction, deception, play a major part in not listening to the words of the Lord. The writer of Hebrews knows that. And so, number three is this. Disobedience. Disobedience is another thing that keeps me from listening to what the word of the Lord says. In other words, I'm living in sin. And Isaiah 59 speaks very clearly to this. That is, that we have separated ourselves from God, not God separating himself from us. It's our sin that separates us. And when we live in disobedience to God, we don't want to hear what God has to say. Oh, we'll come and sit in the pew and put in time and we'll, you know, make everybody think things are okay. But in reality, there's disobedience in the heart. And the writer of Hebrews would go on to say that in the same chapter, the third, same chapter 3 in verse number 18, and to whom did he swear that they would not enter into rest, but to those who were disobedient. Their deceitfulness led to their disobedience, and they learned to disobey the word of the Lord. So important to hear what God's word says. But if we're living in sin, we can't even begin to hear what God has to say because our sins have separated us from our God. And because we don't confess that sin, we don't deal with that sin, it remains prominent in our lives. We don't hear what God has to say. Distraction, deception, disobedience, all those things keep us from paying very close attention to this word of exhortation. There's another one, number four. We call this one disengagement. In other words, I'm disengaged. 2 Timothy 2, verse number 4 says, no good soldier entangles himself in the affairs of this world so that he might please his commanding officer. No good soldier does that. But so many times we come and we are disengaged. And we can become disengaged for many reasons. But let me give you an illustration. Because you see, you don't think I see your disengagement, but I do. I've been doing this for 40 years, a long time. And believe me, I can tell you whether or not someone's disengaged. You say, well, you don't have your glasses on. How do you know? You'll be surprised. A number of years ago, we had a family in our church, and I noticed that the father was completely disengaged. So I went to him, and I said, hey, I can't help but notice that you are completely out of touch on Sunday mornings. He said, no, I'm not out of touch. I said, no, I think you are. Your body language speaks volumes. It's written all over your face. You wear your heart on your sleeve. Everybody sees it. But as your pastor, I'm just concerned that you are completely and totally disengaged on Sunday mornings. He goes, how do you know? I sit in the back. You'll be surprised what I know. He said, no, I'm in tune. I'm engaged with what's going on. I said, are you sure? There's nothing happening in your life privately that I should know about. No, nothing. But you're good. Yeah. I said, okay. 6 months passed. Nothing really changed. So I went to him again. I hate to be like a bad habit coming back to you all the time, but you are so disengaged on Sunday morning. I know I came to you about this a while back. But you pay no attention. It's written all over your face. Your eyes are elsewhere. Your heart's not here. What's wrong? What's happening in your private life that's affecting you on Sundays to be completely disengaged? He goes, look, nothing's happening. Everything's good. This is the way I am. You know, I always look down. I'm always thumbing through my Bible. I'm always doing these things. I'm not disengaged. That's just the way I am. I said, okay. But I'll let you know that the appearance is huge. 3 months later, it was exposed. They had a secret sin that destroyed his family. And I went to him. I said, I gave you opportunity. I warned you. I told you were disengaged, and you said you weren't. I asked you if there's some secret sin in your life. You said, no, there's not. I said, are you sure? You said, yes. So I came to you out of my love for you, out of my concern for your family, that you would be totally enraptured with the words of Christ. But yet, it was very obvious to me and to others that you just were completely disengaged on Sunday morning. He goes, yeah, I know. I should have told you when you came to me. I said, we could have spared your family. We could have spared your family much heartache had you come to me. But you didn't. You see, there are people, even today, even as we speak this morning, who are disengaged. Not so much now because I'm talking about it, but if I wasn't talking about it, they'd still be disengaged. But you see, that keeps us from listening. He wasn't hearing the word of the Lord. Listen, 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says that the word of God, right, effectually works in those who believe. If you're a believer, God's word's at work. And the only way it's not at work is because somehow I am disengaged, or I am disobedient to God, I'm living in sin, or I am completely distracted by things around me that I don't want to hear what God has to say, or I am deceived in thinking, this is not for me, this has got to be for you. And therefore I don't pay attention. I don't listen very carefully. I just kind of come to church. I attend church. I show up at church, right? Engaged people are involved in the ministry of the church. Engaged people serve in the church. Engaged people give to the church. Engaged people want to be an encouragement to other people in the church. Those are engaged people, right? Disengaged people, they don't want to get involved. They don't want to give. They don't want to fellowship with you. They just want to come sit, put in time. And putting in time doesn't work. Why? Because the fine art of worship stems from learning how to listen appropriately. Listen carefully. Listen intently. You can't do that if you're distracted. You can't do it if you're deceived or disobedient or disengaged. You know, there's also the devil. Got to give the devil his credit. Mark chapter 4, sower went out to sow some seeds, right? And some of the seed fell on hard soil. And Jesus says, Satan comes and snatches that away. There are times where the devil is actively involved. It snatches the word of God away so you do not believe. So you got to give credit where credit is due. That does happen. And on top of that, notice that sometimes we don't listen because we're dead. We're just dead. Not physically, but spiritually. We're dead. Dead in our trespasses and sin. And the natural man never understands the things of the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Why? Because he can't discern that which is spiritual because he's a dead man. And so it could be that you come to church and it doesn't mean anything to you because you're dead on the inside. You're dead spiritually. And so when the word of God is speaking, you're not listening because you can't hear. Because your ears had not been opened by the Lord. And therefore, you're just dead on the inside. It could be this, that you completely devalue the truth of God's word. Proverbs 23:23 says, buy truth, do not sell it. Why? It's the most valuable thing there is. That's why when the gospel is compared to a pearl in Matthew 13 or a lost treasure, the man who goes after it sells all that he has in order to obtain it. Why? Because he values it so much. Those who value the truth, they listen intently. Those who value God's word can't wait to hear God's word. Those who value God's word dive deep into God's word. They want to hear it. They want to know it. Why? Because it's all about the Lord God of Israel. They want to get to know him. So the writer of Hebrews says, pay very close attention to the word of exhortation that I've given to you. Don't be distracted. Don't be disobedient. Don't be deceived. Don't be disengaged. Don't the devil take it away. Make sure you're not dead. And don't devalue anything that that's been set. Why? Why? Because of what he has just given to us. What has he given to us? He has given to us the book of Hebrews that reveals the identity of the Messiah. Reveals his identity. If you just go back to chapter 1, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers, in the prophets, in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. And he is the radiance of his glory, the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. That tells us that Hebrews reveals his identity, it radiates his glory, and it records his ministry. The first four verses, reveals the identity of the Messiah. He is the exact representation of his Father. It tells us that everything about it radiates his glory. He is a shining forth of his Father. And it records his ministry. He made purification for sins and sat down at the right hand of God the Father. Pay very close attention, because what we have done, he says, is reveal to you the identity of Jesus Christ our Lord, the Messiah of Israel. He radiates his glory by understanding that he is God in the flesh, and he records his ministry. At the same time, it reflects his purity, right? Because he is a high priest who cannot be tempted like we are, or tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. In other words, there is no sin in him, because he cannot sin. And so the writer of Hebrews reflects for us the purity of the Messiah. He recounts the mercy of the Messiah over and over again, how merciful he is to save those who are lost. He reinforces the supremacy and the sufficiency of the Messiah. That's the whole theme of the book of Hebrews. And so he reinforces that over and over again, that he is supreme and sufficient above everything else, because he is what everything else pointed to. It also records man's destiny. That's why he gives those five warnings about not being dull of hearing, the danger of unbelief, and making sure that you respond today and not tomorrow. Because there are warnings that if you do not receive this word spoken to you, you're in danger of coming to a place where it's impossible to renew you to repentance. He records man's destiny. He would go on to reiterate man's responsibility. But primarily, the book of Hebrews remains the only story that matters. It's a story of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is the all-sufficient, supreme creator of the universe, who came and was the fulfillment of all Old Testament prophecy, rose again, and is coming again one day. What a marvelous study. We've had a great opportunity to pay close attention to the things that the writer of Hebrews has said, all inspired by God. And I wonder, at the end, what you have taken from the book of Hebrews. 7 years, 4 months later, this had to have made an impact somewhere, somehow, in your life. Unless you're dead, that could possibly be. Unless you devalue that which is spoken. Unless you're disobedient by living in sin. Unless you're disengaged, or you're disinterested, or you truly are distracted by everything else around you because something's more important to you than God and his word. But you would think, after 7 years and 4 months, there would be one thing that would stick and alter your lifestyle. Solomon said these words in Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 33. He who listens to me lives securely. And we'll be at ease from the dread of evil. That's what the Bible says. He who listens to me will live securely and will be at ease from the dread of evil. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today and the opportunity to be reminded once again that we need to come to listen, to pay very close attention to the word of exhortation. That truly, Lord, we would grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ our Lord. We thank you, Father, for the word of God. It is the priceless treasure that you have given to man to know you. You have revealed yourself in all of your splendor and all of your glory through the pages of the scriptures. And we thank you, Lord, that you have given us the opportunity to study them. Our prayer, Father, is that everyone who is here would have learned not just one thing, but many things throughout our study of the book of Hebrews, simply because it truly reveals to us the supremacy and sufficiency of Jesus Christ, our great God. And for that, we will always be thankful until you come again, as you most surely will. In Jesus' name, amen.